Somebody say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I hope that you are grateful to be in His presence today. We are truly in the presence of majesty. And in the presence of majesty, there is a response, a proper response, and we are truly giving it to God this morning. I want to say I'm grateful to Pastor Bill for his leadership and his words. In my presence and in my absence, I appreciate his stance on Scripture and bringing those words to you. And I've been challenged by those, and those words and those challenging words have now taken me to a place of going, okay, let's go to part two. So we're going to go to part two, part three, part four, part five. And I'm going to begin with the greatest question of all time. The greatest question of all time is simply this: why? It seems to be that that's a very popular question that is asked if you've got a little two-year-old that's beginning to speak. That seems to be the very first words, one of the very first words that they learn, besides no. No is not a question, but why is? And I've really kind of thought about it. You know, it seems to be the greatest question of all, because there is this place of it begs for an answer. The greatest answer of all time is because. It comes out in the greatest parenting manual of all time that when your child asks you why, then the parental answer is because. Because I said so. And I don't know how well that worked for you. It didn't work out so well for me. And I'll tell you the reason why. Because. Seems like a double something. I don't know what that is. But because has to have a basis for which the answer comes from. So therefore, when your 3-year-old or your 4-year-old or your 24-year-old or your 44-year-old says to you, well, how come? And they're not satisfied with because, it's simply because doesn't have a basis to it. And we're not satisfied with an answer that doesn't have real meat to it. As a pastor, I get all kinds of questions. Some of them go like this: why did God flood the earth? I've got a pretty good answer for that. Why were there plagues? I've got a pretty good answer for that. They're going to get a little bit more difficult. Why did Jesus die? I've got a pretty good answer for that. And then, why do people hurt people? That's above my pay grade. And I know that I can't simply say because. But we will never satisfy the thirst for the answer until we begin to back it up. So I have this new series that I'm going to begin today. It'll be relatively short, but it's simply called Why? Because. Are we tracking okay? So everybody say why, and I'll say because. Are you satisfied with the answer? Hope not, because there's some places to fill in. So we're going to get to that. And the whole why because thing is, and we begin with this part of, and Bill left us with that last week. Why do we reach out? What are we supposed to do in reaching out? What does that mean, reach out? And so as the church, we're called to several different behaviors that are all about who God is in us. And so we have this mission statement of Parkway Hills Church. And we exist, Parkway Hills Church exists, to passionately reach, teach, and restore and celebrate in God's love. That's why we exist. That's exactly. In-N-Out exists to give you a killer hamburger. That's why they exist. If you go there and you get a really bad chicken sandwich, you didn't go to In-N-Out. So that's why they exist, and the church exists, this church and the church exists to fulfill God's law in us and answers the question, why? Why are we supposed to reach out? Bill asked us that question. Why are we supposed to reach out? And here's the because. I'm going to give you the basis for the first because. Get ready to write. Because God commanded it. God commanded it. God is our Heavenly Father. And as our Heavenly Father, He instructs us what to do. As a kid growing up, there were many times that my father or mother would say, "Son, do this or do that." I'm smart enough now to tell you that every single time that was used, it was not a question. They weren't looking for my input. They weren't looking to know what I thought about it. They weren't looking for a discussion. They simply said, "Son, do this or do that." And in the same regard, when God says, "Do this," he's not looking for a, "Well, you know, God, can we have a discussion? How about if we sit down over coffee? God, how about if we have a dialogue over this whole command thing? You know, because I'm not really sure. Can we whittle it down from 10 to maybe 7 or 8 or keeping 1 or 2? Wouldn't that be nice?" And God says, "No, do this." So we have the Ten Commandments, which are found in Exodus chapter 20. And then we have what's called the Great Commission, which is the final command of Jesus. The final command of Jesus, which we find in the Great Commission, is not a suggestion. It's not a, "Hey, what do you think about it?" It is a command. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. You will find these scriptures to be excitingly familiar. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" There is an imperative word in here that is not open to interpretation. It's not open to suggestion. It's not even open to whether or not I agree with it. The imperative word is go. Now, when the God who created all things says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, now you go." That's a command. That's a command. And when Jesus speaks in command type language, we're supposed to obey, teaching them, who are the thems, teaching them everything I have commanded you. What are we to do with this go? Go is a big word, two letters that come together that imply so much. Here's the go, Matthew 5, 14 through 16. "You are the light of the world." You are the light of the world. And I can read that sentence in several different ways with different inflections and ending it in different ways. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world? You are the light of the world? With a question mark, you see how that begins to change. But Jesus makes, again, an imperative statement. You are the light of the world. Talking to his disciples, "You are the ones that I have commanded to go. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." Here's what it means. "Therefore, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." You are the light of the world. Jesus demonstrates his love to a sick and dying world through you. You You are the light of the world. Does anybody get freaked out by that? Y'all got it? That's awesome. Okay, class dismissed. Let's go home. I'm hungry. You're the light of the world, but we got more blanks to fill in, so we can't. So here's the question. What are you doing with your light? If a city on a hill can't be hidden and nobody lights a light and puts it under a bowl so that nobody can see it, and yet you are the light of the world, in the same way, Jesus says, let your light shine before men. And so because you are the light of the world, you allow your light to shine before men. Some of you are like, well, what is my light? We'll get there. Here's the question. Here's the why. Why are we supposed to reach out? Here's the because. Because God empowers us. I want to say to you this. God will never ask you to do something that He isn't prepared to help you accomplish. God will never ask you to do something which He's not prepared to help you see it through. End of Matthew 28, verse 20. And I will be with you always. Okay, I've called you to go do this, and I will be with you, and I will be with you, and I will be with you. God empowers us to do the very thing that He is asking us to do. Acts 1:8, you know this. You will receive, say it out loud. You will receive, yeah, say it like you mean it. Like you'll receive, yeah. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In my notes, I said, I underlined the word power. God gives us power. And here's the cool thing. Because we're now post New Testament, because the Holy Spirit has already come, you already have the power. Look at your neighbor and say, I got the power. I got the power. Sing it if you need to. Maybe some of you don't need to sing it. I got the power. And God empowers you to do the very thing. We've already received the Holy Spirit. Because we've received the power, the Holy Spirit, we've already got the power. Don't think that you have to have some sort of creative gift. Hear me well. There's some people that say, well, that's just not my gift. Let's go back to Matthew 28, 18 through 20 if you need to. He didn't put a little asterisk in there saying someplace, well, if that's your gift, then you can do that. And all those who don't feel like it's their gift get a free pass. No, He said, therefore, go. All authority, therefore, go. So it's not that you have to have some sort of a creative gift. All we have to do is allow God's Holy Spirit power to empower us to do the very thing that He is asking for us to do. Paul to the Corinthians, which is this, he said, my message and preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, say these words, but on God's power. Did we miss that? I know, I was like, wait, you didn't say those words. Okay, let's do those last words again. But on God's power. It's a lot easier when you have the words, huh? Paul didn't rely on eloquent speaking or wise words or a seminary degree or not a seminary degree. He relied on wisdom given to him by God, and he relied on the Holy Spirit's power. So So you sit and you're like, well, you know, I don't really have this, it's not my gift, and so I'm not really sure. Here's some why nots. So we've done some whys. I'm going to give you a couple of why nots. Are you afraid you don't know what to say? That's a good why not, right? Because it's like, oh, I don't know what I'm supposed to say. That's so people don't do, because that's the why not that they use. They're like, well, I don't know what to say, so I won't say anything. So how does the Holy Spirit speak through you if you're not using your mouth? You can't. Well, I don't know who I'm supposed to talk to, so I won't talk to anybody. Well, that's not very good for my light. I'm afraid they will laugh or ignore me. Or worse yet, think I'm a Jehovah's Witness and slam the door in my face. So what do? We rely on God's power to give us the strength to go, you know what, I don't know that guy. I'll figure it out. Lord, help me. I'm about ready to go meet my neighbor. I'm about ready to go meet somebody new in the hall. I'm about ready to go, and I'm freaked out. I'm scared. God says, oh, cool, you're actually going to do the very thing that I've commanded you to do. I will give you power. And so you do that thing, and then all of a sudden you step back and you kind of go, dude, that was pretty cool. I mean, I went over and we found out that we had all these things in common. And so I ask you a question, are you willing to accept the power that the Holy Spirit has already given to you? All you got to do is accept that power and go, yeah, God, I'll take it. So it goes like this. Would you come here, sweetness, and bring that water bottle, please? So I gave you an example. Come up here. I gave you an example a while back about a water bottle. And so I'm going to ask Allison if she would just hand it to me. And just give it to me. Just let it go. I'm going to take it. You knew I was going to do that, didn't you? Why did I do that? I'm going to tell you why I did that. Because she was handing me something, but I refused to take it. But all the... Yeah, she's got the power. If I have something given to me, but I refuse to take it, and it's all there, all I got to do is embrace it, wrap my hands around it, and go, okay, great, now I've got it. But if I stand there with my hands like, oh, I'd like to have it, but I'd like to have it, but my fists are clenched and my body language says, there's no way that I'm going to take the power from God, guess what? You're not going to get it. And the whole time God's saying, but I've given it to you. So what are you willing to do with the power that God has already given to you? Here's the why. Why are we supposed to reach out? Here's the because. Because God will use us. I believe that we all are a living story. That we are a living story of His story. We are the light of the world. God can work in you and through you. So two Sundays ago, I'm speaking, it's not really preaching, but I'm speaking a message very similar to this. And challenged a group of people to a walk and a lifestyle that was going to be about reaching out and about embracing their neighbor. And I asked a simple question, which is, okay, why do you think there's empty seats in your church? And there were several churches represented there. And, of course, there were multiple different types of answers. But why do you think that? And we continued down this path and this journey of all of these things that God wants to be able to do and can do. And we've said our final amen, and we closed in a word of prayer, and we were encouraged by the word, and we went on with our day. And somewhere around between 10 and 11 o'clock at night, unbeknownst to myself and Allison, a car drove into the place in which we were parked. So first light of the morning, and some of you know what that is, but it's early in the morning. We woke up, and I looked out, and I see this black little car parked right next to us. Now, I'm going to set the stage for you. We're in a campground, and it's a group campground. So it's our group, not anybody else's. So this car had pulled up in the middle of our group campground, shut the engine off, and parked. And we woke up in the morning and began to look out. Who are they? Now, some of you, immediately suspicion begins to rise up. What are they doing here? What do they want? Why'd they come into our place? Why are they... So kind of nosed around a little bit, saw there was one guy, and then saw there was another guy, and saw a hand begin to move around like they were kind of starting to wake up a little bit. So we just kind of purposed ourselves to chill and wait. And I want to introduce you to two men. One, his name is Juanes, and the other one is Chris. And these two men woke up, and they began to share their story, and the first thing we did was said, hey, can we offer you a cup of coffee? Seems simple, seems easy. How many of you guys have ever offered a cup of coffee to somebody you've never met? Some of you go, not me. Yeah. So we invite them over. They're like, ooh, strangers, wow, this is weird. We parked in the middle of your group campground, and now you are offering us a cup of coffee. Cool. So we made them coffee, we sat down, got to know their names, and eventually we began this story, this journey that we're on, and we're like, man, you know what? So here's the real quick backstory. Juanes is from Belgium, and I know that because I'm thinking waffles, okay? Now I've got a food association going with you. So Juanes is from Belgium, and Chris is from a town in Germany. And here these two men came over. Check this out. They came over independently. They did not know each other. They came over in March to hike the Pacific Crest Trail. Some of you that know outdoors are like, oh, cool, I know what that is. Some of you that don't know outdoors, doesn't matter. So they're going to spend 6 months independently. They don't even know each other. And they start on this trail that actually starts in Campo, and they begin heading north, and about a week into it, they meet. They speak similar dialect, same type of a language. Oh, you're from Europe. I'm from Europe. That's kind of cool. They begin to go on their way. They separate. A week later, they rejoin. It's like, wow, this must be, we should hang out together. So they begin to go on this journey together. Quick, two little parts of the story go like this. Chris ends up with some sort of sickness, giardia or something. Juanes ends up with some sort of sickness, giardia or something like that, and gets very, very ill. So Chris, a friend, person he's really never met, but he's known him a couple of weeks while they're on this trail, hikes out 17 miles to find help, hikes back, and hikes back. 17 times 3 is a lot. Chris ends up injuring his leg significantly but Juanes said, you saved my life. So now these two rent a car. Chris can't walk. So these two rent a car and they begin to travel. And they're just driving around. They had 6 months. They're like, this is cool. And they pulled into our space at between 10 and 11 o'clock at night. They were not invited there, but they pulled in. Now remember, I just got done speaking this type of a message. What do you do when fish jump in your boat? Doing in my boat. Out of here, fish. Yeah. 50 spaces they could have parked in. So I said, do you guys want breakfast? Sure. Do you know what a breakfast burrito is? His name was Juanus, not Juan. So now we have to explain each ingredient. This is a tortilla. The L is silent. These are eggs. This is cheese. This is what you do, and you roll it up. He's like, oh, that's kind of cool. We're feeding them, and I said before, you know what? I'm a pastor. Oh, check this out. You'll like this. You mean like the Pope? No. But they don't know. And I said, you know, but I would like to pray for your meal. Okay. We prayed. And we enjoyed now coffee, breakfast. And then they began to ask questions. They said, you seem to know a lot about the area. And yes, I do. Let me point you along the way. Here's where you need to go. Here's where you not need to go. They wrote all these notes down, and they were going to continue on their journey. And it got to the very end of it, and we're ready. Now we're spending hours with them. We've just rearranged our entire day to spend with these two guys. And they were completely enthralled with Belgium versus Japan in the World Cup. And I won't ruin it for anybody else that cares about that today. But Belgium won that match. And I asked him, because Chris's injury, Chris, can I pray for healing for you? Yes. Now, 10 hours ago, we didn't even know who these people were. And they came into our space. Now, I'd like to know. I don't know if he's been miraculously healed or not, but I believe, and we've been praying and praying for Chris, that I believe the God that he didn't even know would touch him in such a physical way that he would be able to point back to that. And that man prayed for me in the name of Jesus. And Juanus and Chris, if you're ever going to see this, we're continuing to pray for you right now. Now, that's easy. Now, some of you, now here's what the reaction with some of the people that we'd just spoken this message to hours before this, they had the, oh, hi. Interesting. And I fear sometimes we take on the same posture with those who don't know Jesus and want to know his love. God empowers us. 1 Peter, in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do it with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. How does God use us? How does God want to use you? How does God want to so interact with your life as you interact and as you move about and have your being? How does God want to be able to use you? 1 Thessalonians 4, we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you because your gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. So you do those things with power, with love, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. We firmly believe that if it is God's will, Chris will be walking well. And he'll have an opportunity to point back to a time and say, I was prayed for by someone who believes in a God that is bigger than me. For we're not ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. What does it mean to be used by God? 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Guess what? We fed Juanes and Chris. Guess what? We ate. We enjoyed some time, and we also now know that if we're ever going to go to Belgium, we have a tour guide. Pretty cool. I mean, you know, how much better can that be? So those are the kinds of stories that I tell you, and I just ask you, how is God working in your life? How is God using you? What gifts are you saying, God, help me to expand on? Here's the final why. Why are we supposed to reach out? Here's the because. Because God rewards it. This is the part that I believe we want to get to first, but it's the part that God does last. God does reward obedience. Here's one. How about a forever reward? I'm getting really tired of all these reward programs. You got to have a card. You got to scan your phone. And every store you go to has a reward program. And it's like, well, which one is it? And which one isn't it? And I don't know. You got this whole pocket full of cards that you're supposed to be able to give. And you'll get some special gift by doing so. Here's what God's forever reward is. Romans 2. Those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, He will give eternal life. That's a forever reward. You do this, you honor Him, you serve Him, you worship Him, you do the commands of God, and He will reward you with eternal life. Do I need to get any more clear? If you don't do them, don't expect eternal life. So we reach out. Colossians chapter 3. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Church, I'm going to call you to an action, because at the point of this, there's a place of action. What are we going to do? What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Here's the action that I'm going to call you to, and it is the action of prayer. And the action of prayer is very simple, but very deliberate. And some of you are aware that we have a prayer time at church here on Wednesday nights at 6:15, and that's a time in which we're deliberately involved in prayer. And it's a good time. But I believe that the Lord's calling us to a intentional, deeper walk in our prayer life. For we have not, because we ask not. And there's times in which we need to just go to God and say, God, we are calling on you. We are crying out to you. We are lifting to you our needs. And I will tell you, our church has some needs. Our community has some needs. Your family has some needs. And if there's place where you're just like, oh, but I'm crying out and nothing's happening, then we need to corporately come together and just lift up the name of Jesus. So here's what I'm calling you to this Wednesday at 6 p.m. So let me say that again. This Wednesday at 6 p.m., I'm calling you to prayer. Now, Allison is going to be at a door and Lynn is going to be at a door. And if you guys go ahead and make your way there now, they have a sign-up sheet. Now, I'm sorry if this becomes a little OCD, like, well, why do we have to have a sign-up sheet? But here's what it is. You can say, yeah, I'll be here. I'll be here on premises. Great. We're going to meet here in the sanctuary. We're going to meet around the altar. Or, man, my schedule, I just can't be here. But I will pray at home, and I will devote the time from 6 p.m. to 6:45 to be in prayer. Well, what are we going to pray for? I have an idea. When you begin to kneel and you begin to ask God to begin to fill your heart and your life with the things that are going on, you'll know what to pray for. And 6 to 6:45 is going to go, man, that wasn't enough time. So I'm calling you, the church, to sign up. Because there's something about when you put your name down and you're making a commitment, you'll be there. If you can't be here to church, sign up on the other side. It says, I'll pray at home.